sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. As this version is the confidence is what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Bruce Waltke put it this way, in another way. He says, faith is an imagination that is informed by the Word of God and illuminated by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, faith have a content. Faith is trusting something, someone. Faith is trusting in the Word of God and the promise of God. And that is, God's Word becomes the reason of assurance, of being sure. So in Genesis 12, our first scripture reading, God called Abraham. He says, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go. So Abraham listened to God's word. God sent him to go, and Abraham, in faith, left his country, his people, his father's household. So Abraham trusts in the word of God. In Genesis 15, God showed Abraham that he would make him into a great nation. His descendants will be like the stars in the sky and the sand and the seashore. And God says, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6 is talk about, then Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. So it's another example that Abraham respond in faith, and that is respond to God's word. God make a promise, he believe, and that is faith. And this is the same as our faith when we talk about faith. Faith is believing in God's word, the Bible. Faith have a content. We trust in something. We trust in the word of God. So today's passage in Genesis 22, I encourage all of you to open the Bible and follow along. Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. What is this sometime later? This is sometime later after the birth of Abraham's son, Isaac. In the previous chapter, finally, Abraham received the promised son, Isaac. It's the previous chapter talk about the birth of Isaac. So it's between chapter 21 and chapter 22, sometime later, when Isaac, this promised child, eventually come to Abraham's and Sarah, and then the boy grew. Sometime later, maybe we don't know exactly, the Bible did not say how many years later, but most probably, Isaac would be like a teenager, which may be 13, 14, 15, sometime later. When Isaac become a teenager, God at that moment called Abraham, and he says, and God here, he says, God tested Abraham. Okay, so we are told in the first hand that first, this is a test. But this is just to us readers. But that's not, Abraham does not know that. Does not know this is a test. Okay. So God says, Abraham says, here I am. So God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, this teenager, this promised son, after he waited so many years. And the Bible said, this is a test, okay? You and I know this is a test, but Abraham doesn't know that. So Abraham, God called Abraham. Here I am. God, when God speaks to us, our response is, here I am, here I am. This is beautiful. Do you know that? When God calls us, and what is our response? Our response is, here I am. If God can call us, our most beautiful response is, here I am. That is, throughout in the Bible, God called many of his people, and their response is, here I am. God called Moses. Moses says, here I am. God called Samuel. Remember, Samuel, Samuel. In the beginning, Samuel does not know. Three times God called Samuel. And then finally, his mentor, Samuel's mentor, Eli, he says, next time when God calls you, you just say, here I am. Do you know how to say here I am in Hebrew? Many of you know, but you forgot. Remember a few years ago in a summer retreat, we sang this song, Hey Nanny, Hey Nanny. Da, 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 da. Hey Nanny. Okay? Hey Nanny is what? Hey Nanny is here I am. Hey Nanny, here I am. Hey Nanny, here I am. When Isaiah hears God speak, Isaiah says, hey Nanny. Hey Nanny, here I am. Hey Nanny. So this is beautiful. When we sing this, we said, when God speaks to us, here I am. And then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. So there's no mistake about it. God wants Isaac. Isaac is not his only son. His other son, Ishmael. But Ishmael already, Abraham sent him away in the previous chapter. But Isaac is the only promised son. And God specifically asked for him. He says, your son, your only son, the son that whom you love, there's no mistake about it, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. So, to Abraham, to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering means it is common in those cultures, is you sacrifice lamb as a burnt offering. Cattle. Abraham knows exactly what it means. But this is just so strange and so illogical to ask for his son as a burnt offering, to kill and burn it. It is a command that is so totally illogical. Because after all, Isaac is the one that God promised to, through him, to make him into a great nation, to give him more and more descendants. So it is so totally illogical and unconventional. If you were Abraham, how would you respond? Well, Abraham in the past respond to God's always, you know, when God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham talked to bargain with God. Remember? You know, it's, would you destroy the whole city because of 50 people? And then he continued to bargain with God that, would you destroy the people if there were 10 righteous people? Would you destroy them to kill the righteous and unrighteous together. So Abraham have a habit of talking back to God. But in this case, Abraham just, what is Abraham's response? In the Bible it says, after it says that, in verse 3, the next verse it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. God asked, sacrifice your son, your loved son, your beloved son, and take him to the place that I want you to sacrifice him. And the Bible responds, Abraham responds the next verse, early next morning, he went. No dialogue, no bargaining, no argument. Abraham just responded right away. It's an response, immediate response, no argument. Why? Because at this moment of Abraham's life, Abraham has experienced a lot of God's working in his life. At the chapter 22 of Genesis, we saw Abraham have experienced God in many ways. And one of the most amazing ways, of course, is the giving him this promised son, Isaac, at a very, very old age. So Abraham's faith has been strengthened. When Abraham's faith faltered, leaving the promised land into Egypt, God protected him. When Abraham is in need, God given them what they need. When Abraham is looking for a child, begging for the child, God provided. So Abraham's faith, up to this moment, is at the peak. And so Abraham responded to this most unreasonable, illogical demand. And Abraham, at that time, his faith is at the highest peak. He just responds and in obedience. So now, let's shift away from Abraham to us. Will God test us? God has tested Abraham. Will God test us? What do you think? Do you want God to test you? Well, throughout the Bible says, God will test us. And God will test our faith for our own good. God, throughout the Bible, talk about God will test us through adversity or hardship. And this is for us, for our good. In 1 Peter, Peter told the believers, he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice as much as you participate in the suffering of God. You see, friends, brothers and sisters, God tests us through hardship, through fiery ordeal, and this is so that our faith can be strengthened. God does not test us to lead us into sin, but he would test us the quality of what we are. And our response is to follow Abraham's model. In humility and obedience, says, here I am. Here I am. Hey, Nanny. So verse 4 talk about, Abraham took with him two of his servants, his son Isaac, and prepared the wood for the burnt offering, and he set out for that place God had told him about. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Imagine that you were Abraham. You received an order and you respond. And this obedience response is, you know, you are doing that in a walk, one day, 2 day, third day, the third day. So it is a long journey, you know. It is not just a, like an impulse. It's a, okay, I am all fired up, my faith is great, okay, I'm going to do it, you know. And I'm going to jump this like a leap of faith, you know. It's not just an impulse. Abraham's response is by walking this long journey. Because every step he knows that it is closer to sacrifice his son. And then later on, when he reached the place, he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we will come back to you. At that moment, Abraham said, the final part of this journey is I and my son is going alone. You see, folks, faith journey is sometimes very lonely. When you have great faith, maybe other people do not share your faith. But if you respond to God, sometimes you have to respond in all alone. Abraham, at that time, at the final journey of in obedience, he walked this path alone. Just like how Jesus, in obedience, to walking to the cross, he walked alone. All his disciples deserted him. But Jesus continued to respond in faith. And then while they are walking the last leg of the journey, alone, just Abraham with his son, and his son Isaac asked this heart-wrenching questions. Father, we have everything prepared. Wood is here, fire is here, but where is the lamb that is to be sacrificed? Imagine you are a father, what would you say?
Son, you are it.
Somehow Abraham just maybe guided by the Spirit, just said, no, the Lord will provide. God will provide what is needed. And then trusting God. So finally, the story continue. Verse 9, it says, Abraham, when he prepared everything, he bound his son Isaac. You know? Here it shows Isaac also played his part of this obedient party, you know, because Isaac at that time obviously is a pretty strong boy, because Abraham bring all the wood for him to carry, so he and Abraham is very old, okay? So Isaac maybe at this time realized maybe he is the sacrificed creature, but Isaac willingly let his father bind him. And then finally in verse 10, at the right last moment, when Abraham is just about to reach out his hand, he's slain his son, the angel said to of the Lord, call out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, just at the right moment. And he says, now that I know that you fear God. So this Abraham passed the test just in time. So as we talk about faith, we learn about faith. So what has gone through Abraham's mind? Why is Abraham like of such a great faith that he's going to respond? He responded to God in total obedience, even to this illogical demand. Well, The New Testament writer make this description in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Okay? He have embraced this promise. This promise was given, this son was given to him. And yet he's going to give it back to God. Sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So this son is God given him so that his nation will become a nation. And continue, the scripture says, Abraham reasons that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. So the New Testament gives us this revelation. It says, in Abraham's mind, he says, this son is from God, and God in the past have shown forth all his power, and he's so trustworthy that even if God demand the death of his son, God will bring him back. That's what Abraham was going through his mind. He says, God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back. So this is because of his trust in God's word. He experienced God, and he is prepared to trust in God to offer his son back. And then later on, in verse 13 and 14, God did provide a ram. And that ram was stuck in the branches. So Abraham took this ram and sacrifices as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Do you know what the Hebrew of the Lord will provide? It's another word, Hebrew word that we know. You did not realize. The Lord will provide is Yahweh Jireh. Now church, we have a Jireh fellowship. Some people, Jireh or Yereh. Yereh in Hebrew means God provide. God will provide. Yahweh provide. So, Abraham's, when he answered his son Isaac, he says, God himself will provide the lamb. This resonates with God's offer of the lamb to save the world. God provided of the lamb at Mount Moriah. Foreshadows the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ. You see, this ram that God provides here on Mount Moriah gives us a foretaste, a foreshadow of what eventually do for giving sacrifice his son for us. Ultimately, God provides the true lamb without blemish that stands in humanity's place. This ram symbolizes God's son, Jesus. This ram died in place of Isaac, just like God provided his son, Jesus, to die for all of us. The Lamb of God. No wonder in the Gospel of John the Baptist says, look at Jesus and says, look, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, this Lamb of God dies instead so that all of us can live. So talk about faith. We talk about faith. Faith means trust in God's word despite the circumstances seems otherwise. On the surface, something that is unreasonable. On the surface, God's sacrifice to his sons seems senseless. Today, a lot of people reject Christianity exactly because of that. Because he says, God's son cannot die. A lot of people reject the death of Jesus because some of them is because I don't need it. Some of them, Muslim people, he says, God's sons cannot die, cannot suffer this type of shame. Yet, in the Bible, it is all along God's will to sacrifice his son. Isaiah 53 talk about this. God is preparing this obedient servant who would die to save others. Hundreds of years, 600 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 53 says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. You see, God crushed this servant, yet this servant will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper. So this faithful servant will bring along a lot other offsprings. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Who could the prophet Isaiah talk about except Jesus? How could anyone who die and see his offspring, who prolong his, and then how could this one servant die and justify many others, and he will bear their iniquities? You see, right along, God is preparing the impossible, the unimaginable, the senseless sacrifice. Yet, because of that, we are saved. Similarly, God is calling us to do the impossible. When God called his disciples, he asked his disciples to come follow me and surrender their life. A lot of people cannot get it. How can I follow Jesus? I want to follow Jesus to have a good life, to live. But Jesus says, come, you surrender your life to me and you will live. In Matthew 16, Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Impossible! How can I lose my life to save it? But God is calling us, all of us, to this radical obedience to his word. This is his command. Are you willing to do that? This is Abraham's example is for us to follow. Abraham's trust in God. Are you going to trust in Jesus' call to follow him? To give up your life so that you can have life. Another impossibility here. Okay. Jesus calling his disciples to, he says, after he resurrected, the final commission to his disciple is, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. He is just telling 11 disciples. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. 11 guys going to make disciples of all nations. Is it impossible? Well, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. So if you, what is our response? Our response, if you do it, maybe one day you'll see your fruit, your offspring in heaven. You see, just like we are talking about, the Great Commission is not just for pastors or adults, parents. The Great Commission is for everyone, all of us. This is to all of us. And if we share and lead your classmate, your friends, even the children can share among other children. And then you'll make disciples of all nations. Let me finish the two very amazing verses. This is from 1 Timothy 3. We seldom look at it, this verse, this way. Towards the end, Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, this is talking about Jesus. He is quoting a hymn that is praising Jesus because of this mystery of incarnation, of God come to bear with human flesh. He says, he, that is Jesus, he appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. See, Paul write to Timothy and finally he just bursts out with this song, this praise song. He says, this mystery of God become human, he says, he will be seen in the preached among the nations, was believed in the world. At that time, they were just a Jewish sect, just a very tiny people. Yet, the next verse, this is the last verse of Timothy, the next verse is that the Spirit clearly says that in later days, later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So this is talking about, despite all circumstances, nowadays people do not believe, but yet the word of God will fulfill one day. So our job is just be faithful, just to do it. There will be opposition, there will be people will laugh at you, but you just, your job is to be faithful, to continue. And because whenever God says, if you believe, God's word will never come back in vain. And this is the last verse I want to leave you. And this hopefully will encourage all of us, our faith. It's, as the rain and the snow come down from heavens and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish, so that you seed for the sowers and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Our faith is not just self-confidence. Our faith is not just we have no other choice. Our faith is in the Word of God. God already accomplished salvation, and God already said that he have all authority in heaven and on earth. And our job is to just respond and do it in faith. Let us pray. Dear Lord, despite our many shortcomings, despite our lack of faith, you are faithful and you will accomplish what you have promised in the Bible. So we trust in you. We pray that we will learn from Abraham's examples. Despite the circumstances, we just trust in your word. And so we have your word before us, and help us also have the faith of Abraham to totally surrender ourselves and to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. 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 It's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. 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 It's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only. And all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth shall shout, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only. Great are you, God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
As we depart from here, please listen carefully to this verse in the Bible. It is both a warning and also a verse which gives us great hope. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. Amen. Please be seated.